as Christ has established his church, and I'm convinced as we go further along in what's going on in this world that we are going to need the church more and more. We're going to need each other, right? The church isn't, you guys remember as a kid, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors. And see, you guys yell. See, this is what happened when we didn't have internet as a kid. This is what we did. And the church is the people. It's not the building. And somehow we've gotten to a point where we're so institutionalized everything that we lose the point of it all. And so this morning I really want to kind of carry on that theme of the church. And in here, sort of the simplicity of heart in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see this verse that uses this phrase, the simplicity of heart. If you start talking about the church, church should not be complicated. It really shouldn't. We live in a day and age where we see, mega churches and even kind of, smaller churches trying to fit into these formulas. Where it's almost like more of a concert. We got the lights and we got the smoke and we got the skinny jeans, which you don't want to see me in skinny jeans. We put on this production, this show, where we use the best of the best. And now, don't get me wrong, our God deserves our best. But somewhere along the line, things have gotten so complicated of what church is. On Facebook, I'm part of a group that talks about the church media. We talk about, being online and, cameras and all this. And it was funny because most of the people who are on there are from these very large churches. And they will show the computers and all that stuff to run all the stuff they do. And I'm going to show my geek here. It looks like the Star Trek Enterprise. The computer screens and all this, it's just unimaginable. We just did a funeral at a church, a large church in Bangor. And, for that, we're real simple. We got a little computer back there, and we have a few people that click through and keep those things going and appreciate all they do with all that. And but it's very low-key what we do to have the screen and working all those things. It does take something. But we were just trying to get them to turn on the lights at the church. My wife was playing. They had a keyboard. And it was funny because they came in, and she's like, oh, I want to play. And they're like, well, hold on. We got to get the tech guy because it's just what's on stage. It's just a keyboard that's plugged into a computer, that's plugged into a computer program. And it's this whole thing. And he couldn't get it to produce the sound that he needed to. So he called a guy up who got on his computer at home, who logged into the system, who tried to go through and try to get the, this is just for the keyboard. And I was like, while I'm talking, it'd be nice to have a light. I said, can I just, I need to have more lights in Yankee Stadium, right? And I'm like, I just need that light right there to shine a little brighter onto this so I can see. And they're like, oh, we can't do that because there's a whole program that runs everything. And I was like, wow. I'll just bring a headlight and just put it on and turn it on and I'll be all set. And somewhere along the line, it's just become so complicated. To weed through all this, and in here, I think we've trained people that this is the expectation. We're just a small little church, and we don't have all the bells and lights. You can sit here and actually count every light bulb in this room, right? And some people come and are expecting all of that, of the full bands and all the instruments and all the singers and all. And so especially in America, what we find is some of these churches are getting bigger and bigger because they have more and more of all the programs. Right? We see all these things laid out, all the campuses. And now, I don't want to come across as sour grapes. God is using that, and these churches are preaching the gospel. And people are coming to the Lord and growing in that. So I got to be careful because just because things are bigger, things are productions and all those things, that God is not using those things. So I got to be careful of that. But there is a danger of losing the simplicity of why we're doing what we're doing. It's interesting, we talked about this, and as Paul was establishing churches, he says this to the Corinth church. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come in excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Right? Paul came in here and he goes, "Look, I wasn't flashy in my speech. Right? I wasn't slick in my words. I wasn't bringing across all these charts and all these," right? He goes, "I was just bringing to you what? The simplicity of what? Jesus Christ." And that's the core of it. That's why we are here this morning. Now, hopefully that's why you're here. To experience Jesus Christ in the midst of His body. To hear from Him. To hear from His Word. To grow more like Him. It says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." This morning, I hope as you leave, because I am not a man of slick words. I always kind of joke around. I don't speak English. I speak very broken American. My wife and my daughter remind me often that I'll go home, especially my daughter. She'll say, "Dad, you just made up a new word." I'm constantly creating new words. I was like, "Is that a word?" Well, it is now, right? It's not in the flashy. You should not be going home and saying, "Oh, what a wonderful show that was. Oh, what a slick pastor we have." Actually, my goal is when you go home that you heard from God. That somehow if God can use a stumbling vessel like me, this shows how great He is. He goes on, he goes, "And for this boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshy wisdom, by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you." The simplicity of all is interesting. I worked at Domino's Pizza when I was in high school. Now you remember back in the days when you got your pizza in 30 minutes or less? That was back in the day, right? So that was a lot of pressure. We get that pizza there on delivered. And when I first started working there, I was a lot younger, a lot thinner, and a lot hungrier. And in the back room, they always had pizza. You could have whatever pizza you wanted. They always had pizza in there. So in between, you could eat as much pizza as you want, which sounds like a dream. And at first you try all the combinations, you know, the more stuff the merrier. But can you believe what the number one selling pizza is? Cheese. Just cheese pizza. It was interesting because after a while you try all the toppings, try all that. After a while it's just like, oh, and you just go back to the simplicity of a good pizza with good sauce and lots of cheese. It's interesting, too. You flip on the other thing, if you're not into the savory, into the sweet, guess what the number one ice cream flavor is? It's vanilla. The simplicity of it all. I remember our family was onto a trend of watching all these cooking shows. Right? Remember Iron Chef America and all these other... And we were kind of engrossed in all those things and watched people make all these complicated dishes and... there's a chef competition show, and they came up through, and they said, "Okay, we want you to make a dish," and here you have these top chefs making all these fancy, frilly things. They said, "We just want you to make us an omelet, a simple omelet." And the simplicity of making just that one easy thing right. And I think Christianity is we get so caught up in all these other things. That we lose the simplicity of it all. Because the danger is that for the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up with themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the fables. Now we talk about the idea of the flesh, that in here, what we've seen, I fear this happening in America, is that we have this movement towards things that satisfy the flesh. And spiritually, it's all empty. And churches now have become brands. Become teams that we belong to, and yet we've lost why we do what we do. So it brings us to Acts chapter 2, 40 through 47. And I just have a few points I want to bring out this morning, because this is the church in its purest form. Right? We have Pentecost taking place when the Holy Spirit came down. And we have the beginning of the church. And they didn't have all the programs. They didn't have a schedule. They didn't have all the bells and whistles. They didn't have any of that. They were just figuring things out as they were going along. I remember when my wife and I were first married, and we were down in Bible college, and we have a small little apartment. Actually, the kitchen didn't even, it was actually just a slice of, like, a little bit of a hallway. It didn't even have a full-size gas stove. It was like one of these little mini, looked like something that was like in a camper. Two people couldn't fit in it at the same time. We didn't have a lot of money. Right? It's probably, maybe you guys started your guys' life that way. Things were just simple. Because you didn't have a lot. Right? But we had a lot of fun. Probably too much fun. And sometimes, you know, as you go through and life gets more complicated, it gets more complicated. It's good for us to kind of reflect back. And what's the nuts and bolts? You know, I've seen a lot of couples who, after raising all their kids, and the kids graduate and move on, then you have, you're back to just the two people again. And they've lost each other along the way. Because they were so busy in life that they forgot the core of it all. And so I think it's imperative for us to go back and kind of look at the simplicity of church. What was church like when it was simple? When it was pure in many ways. First one, the church is for the saved. Look what happens here in verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Just prior to this, Peter is preaching. Right? And he says, look, turn from your sins. Turn from this world and come to Jesus. That Jesus Christ is God. He died on the cross for your sins. And asking him to forgive you, he will. And you're brought into the family of God. You become his children. And what I fear is that our churches today really started this idea of a seeker-friendly service. That we turn around now that, what can we do to attract the unsaved? Now, listen, I'm glad to have unsaved people come. Right? I was doing a wedding, and there's this gentleman who was openly homosexual, and he was playing the piano. And it was funny, the couple came out and goes, you know, Pastor, you know, my cousin, he's going to play, and he's gay, and is that going to be a thing? I'm like, no. You know, and so he played for, and he was a great guy. We hit it off, and we're joking it back and forth, and, you know, he'd give it to me, and I'd give it back to him, and so they're running the rehearsal, and everything was great, and I had someone from the church come and goes, Pastor, you're being awfully friendly with that guy. I said, what do you want me to be? He goes, yeah, but he might come to church on Sunday. I'm like, I'll be the first one to go over and say, glad you came, right? I mean, it struck me. It's funny, right? Everyone is welcome here. We're glad to have everyone come. Now, we don't change the message of the word. We still preach the word and let God's work take place in people's lives because we all have issues. We all have problems, right? Not everyone's believers. Some of us are seekers. But I think the church has made an error of saying we're going to change who we are to attract those who don't believe. The church is for Christians. It's for the family of God. It says, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope and one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Jesus' prayer was for the church, for believers in him. I do not pray for these alone, talking about his disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their words. That's us. We have the apostles' words, and we believe these things. And Lord Jesus was praying for us. What was he praying? That we all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus prayed for our unity together as a body of Christ. That in here we will praise our God. We will search out his word. We will love each other as God asks us to do. Right? Not to appease the world around us, but that we may show Christ to the world around us. Amen? So the first thing we see, that simplicity, at the core of it, the church is for the saved. The second one is to help us keep the faith. Look at verse 42. And it starts off with, and they continue steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is truth. The teaching of the apostles. Right? At the core of it all, what we gather here together to do is to get into the Word. What does God say about this? Right? God, speak to me through your word. To protect it, I talk about the idea of the Constitution and what the church believes. And I think that's why, I'm a proponent of a formal membership for a church. Because what it does is allow us to protect the doctrines that we hold dear. And so becoming a member of the church is you look at the doctrinal statement and you agree to support those doctrines. Because what we believe does matter. It does. Right? Ephesians tells us, this is having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You've lost the screen. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In here, we are built on the foundations of the apostles' teaching. We believe what we do because it's been passed on, that Peter, James, and John, those who followed Christ, those whom God spoke to, have passed this on to us. And we believe it. Peter tells those young preacher, Timothy, says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine and continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine of God. Truth is truth. I was going to say I swear, but I shouldn't say that. But if I hear someone say, well, that's your truth. That's your truth. I'm going to scream. Because truth is truth. Amen? Right? I mean, we've distorted the idea of what's true and what's not. Well, you have your truth and I have mine. I was watching a little boy do math. It was funny. Because he turned around and it was this new math. Has anyone seen the new math? I remember sitting down and one of my nephews was doing, I think it was just long division. Like I said, I'm old, right? And so it was like, 15 divided into, remember the little sign you make the little divided into? And I showed him, okay, this is times this, and you carry it, and you bring it down through, and here's the decimal point. And he's like, that's easy. I said, that's math. And he goes, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. And he goes, and there's a math tree, and you were multiplying to divide, and you round, and he was like a whole page, and it was just like, can you do it this way? He goes, no, if I do it that way, they mark it wrong. I'm like, okay, well, I can't help you. I just do old math. But this idea of the world coming up with its own idea of truth, and God has called us to guard the truth. Jude tells us, beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. And it's interesting that term, the faith. This is the doctrines of the church. Right? Jude says, look, I want to write to you all these other things, but I find it imperative that I just remind you to be in the Word. What does the Bible say? And the church guards those things. It's not really that complicated. What makes it complicated is I want my ideas and I want my will. And sometimes the Word of God pushes against that. Right? The simple thing is, if I disagree with the Bible, guess who's wrong? I am. The Bible is the truth. You start off with the church. The simplicity of it is church is just made up of Christians. Now in here, we keep the faith, and then we are involved in fellowship. But once again, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says they continue to fast in the apostles' doctrine and what? In fellowship and breaking of bread. In fellowship. We need each other. In here, it continues on, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, so continuing daily with one another in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, and I love that simplicity of heart. Here was a church, they liked each other. They hung out with each other. They encouraged each other. They prayed for one another. When there was a need, they stepped up and provided for that. That's what the church is about. You are the church. I remember talking to someone, and they're like, you know, the church I go to, you know, they never visited me. There was a sickness, I think it was a surgery, and no one visited, you know, the church didn't visit me. I said, no one came to see you? Well, yeah, but, you know, Susie came and Mary came and, some people were sending cards. I was like, that's the church. Or like, yeah, but the deacon didn't come. Well, right? We've distorted what the church is. You are the church. And time again, I hear people complain, you know, not you guys. You guys never complain. But I've heard people complain, you know, well, our church doesn't do this. Well, do it. Right? My church doesn't evangelize. Evangelize. Right? Fellowship. Reach out. You know, Kathy needs a visit. Knock on her door. She'll probably be home. She's not going too far. If it is, just follow the trail of the walker. You'll track her down. Right? When there's a need, when there's a care, we are the body of Christ. You know, it's so easy and complicated that, we have this committee that does this, and we have that social group that does that. We break it all down. At the core of it, you are the church. You are called to fellowship. You are called to be involved. You are called to reach out. And as you have that need, take that opportunity. Galatians tells us, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. What? The church. Right? I'll encourage you this week. Reach out to some people. We have some folks that aren't here. And I don't know why. Let them know I missed you. Let them know I'm praying for you. That's the church functioning. And that fellowship should be sweet. Last week I had that paper with all the one another's, right? There's like 59 one another's in the New Testament that we are called to do with one another. How are you doing on that? Are you involved? Are you active in someone else's life? That's the body of Christ. And we are called to that. We are called to spiritually support. We see this laid out in Acts chapter, right? I could have just preached this whole thing on Acts chapter 2, verse 42. But they continue to fast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and breaking of bread, in what? In prayer. You know, we take a big chunk of the service to pray. Why? Because it makes a difference. God answers prayer. It lets me know what's on your heart. And I can pray for you. I really encourage you to do that. As these things are, the list we have isn't just, the pastor prayed. Can I tell you something? God does not hear my prayer any special than he doesn't hear yours. Right? I don't have a hotline. Right? It's not like when I pray, heaven's like, shh, 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 Pastor John's speaking. What? It doesn't work that way. To pray for one another, encourage one another, right? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Come alongside and, hey, do you need a meal? Do you need a ride? As we step up and be the church, the impact of that is so broad. You are part of a place that cares for you. You know, some people like the big church. That was interesting. A couple of years ago, I got a newsletter from a church, and they're like, this is a big church. And they're like, oh, we're starting this new thing called, you know, these small groups. And the big thing is small groups. So we're trying to take our congregation and slicing them up in groups of like 25 and 30. And this is the hip-hop thing, and everyone's like, oh, this is cool, this is new. And I'm like, man, we've been doing that for years. Right? We're ahead of the curve. We're hip and cool without even trying, right? I mean, we're a group that we can know each other. When you're not here, you are missed. Right? It is different because you're not here. You're just not a number. I remember talking to a pastor of a large church. And I asked him, I said, how do you pastor a church where you obviously cannot know everyone? I can't imagine that. You know, I look out and I know each one of you, and I know you're going to sit in the same spot, and when your spot is empty, I know you're not here, right? And I asked him about that, and the answer shocked me. He goes, I'm not concerned about the person, I'm concerned about the seat. He goes, I'm concerned over the seat. When the seat is empty, he goes, that impacts other things. And I walked off saying, how sad is that? Right? You're not a number. You're not just a statistic. And maybe, you know, some people like that. They can slip in and slip out. Right? We're not a church in our size that you can slip in and slip out without, you know. You're a visitor. We know it. But in here, that we are called to then bear one another's burdens, that we know what's going on. When someone asks you how you're doing, you say, I'm fine. You're like, no, you're not. Right? As I said, we're not a church. We don't have huge budgets, and we can't meet all these needs. I told you a lady called and said, you know, I was told that you would buy me a refrigerator. We don't have a refrigerator fund at the church. What I tell people is, look, come and be a part. And we are a loving body. And in here, when we see needs in each other's life, people step up and people help and people support. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. Roman tells us to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Right? That's what the body of Christ is at the core of it. You know, when I'm going through a hard time, I can dump on you. And when you go through a hard time, you can dump on me. We may not always have the answers, but I'll pray for you. It may not fix everything, but it's better. Right? There's so much of our lives that we're just going under. We feel like that oftentimes. And I need a brother and I need a sister that's going to lift me up. To encourage me. Through prayer, God does things. If anyone tells your, if anyone among you suffers, James, let them pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If you commit sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective firm of prayer of a righteous man avails much. I believe God has worked in my life and probably in your life through the prayers of the saints in this room. Amen? The world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have that. I love that song. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad for my church family. I love you all. And some of you even like me. But that's what we need more of. I mentioned this on Wednesday on the online prayer meeting. Now, just before I came to church, they talk about in Maine, I think it was like something like 50% of people struggle with loneliness. And they started, there's an app now where you can meet up with other lonely people. And at first it sounded like one of these dating apps. They're like, no, it's not that. It's just meeting other friends. I remember going to the clinic down here and talking to the doctor. And, you know, they go through all these lists of things. You know, are you suicidal? Do you have guns in your house? Do you, you know, have enough food? I'm like, look at me. You know, and the question was, are you lonely? I'm like, no. You know, so watching the news report, I'm just kind of shouting at the, go to church! You know, there's churches around. Be a part. Be involved. And you'll find, as you put yourself out, people will be receptive in those things. And the result of the church doing all these things, I'll go through this real quick. Look what happens in Acts. Right? They abided in the apostles' doctrine. We see that they fellowshipped. We see they were praying for each other. We get down to verse 43. It says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as they had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. Right? As the church was doing the church, as we were doing what we're supposed to do, the body was encouraged. As they were doing these things, God was working among them. God was using people in other people's lives. And in here, look at, I love this. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Church isn't complicated. Now, it's not always easy. You know, we got people in here, and people are messy. And sometimes we need grace and mercy. Sometimes I learn grace and mercy in dealing with each other. Let me tell you something. There's a sweetness that takes place. As some of you have been here for a long time. You've known each other for a long time. You know each other's quirks. You know your strengths. You know your weaknesses. You may not always get along, but you're family. That's a place to belong. And look at the end result, verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The church grew. Now it's interesting because in the early church, things weren't easy. There was persecution and there was troubles. In the world today, it's not easy. You stand for your faith and you're going to get shot down and you're going to be ostracized, you'll be unfriended, right? But in the midst of all that, as the church was bold and the church was functioning as a church, it grew because people wanted to be a part of that. Can I tell you something? The church is not going to grow because the pastor is this wonderful speaker, because it's got a new projector, it's got some laser light show, or we pump a little fog. The church is not going to grow because of that. And it's not even going to grow because the pastor is out visiting. You know how the church is going to grow? by you being the church. By you being involved, by you praying, for you loving, for you caring, and extending that out to others. If you invite people, hey, come be a part. If this week alone, if each one of you invited one person, we could double in size. Come be a part. Are you excited over church? Well, not at this point. Pastor, you're 10 minutes over. Right? I never said I was good at this. All right? But that becomes attractive as you are being the church. As you step up and you be the change you want to see.
I think that's a slogan somewhere. I think I've seen a bumper sticker.
As we are the church, God gets glorified. And Jesus said, if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. Be the church, church.
You know, I know we've been pushing, in, you know, the membership thing, and I really do. I would love to see some of you become formal, because I think there's so much more that can be done. We just need more hands. We need who you are, right? And as we are encouraged and we give our time, energy, finances, because you're not giving to the church, you're giving to you. For the building up the body of Christ. Right? A place to belong. People come alongside. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for that simplicity of the early church, Lord. And Lord, I apologize because sometimes in my own mind, I make things so complicated when it shouldn't be. Lord, I pray each one of us will walk out of here with that reminder that they are the church. Lord, help me be the church. As we leave here, we leave the building, we're still the church. Help us to function and do the things you've asked us to do. That you get glorified, that more people will get saved. But Lord, use me. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand and sing. I don't know if we've done this Sunday.